And so I know I talk quite a bit about loving, how in love we are with ourselves. Like, oh, you're so in love with yourself. You're stuck on yourself. And you might think to yourself, yeah, but aren't we supposed to love ourselves? Because if you don't feel good about yourself, if you don't have self-worth, then you're not able to love others. So I thought it would be good to talk about what does it mean to love yourself in a healthy way and in an unhealthy way. And doing that by looking at our father and the two sons today. So we'll start with our youngest son. He's loving himself at the beginning in that way that you're so stuck on yourself. You're just in love with yourself that way. That's the way the world was telling him to love. That it's all about you. It's all about you. It's you. Think about yourself. Think about number one. Think about number one. Protect number one. Do what's best for number one. And what's best is you want money. Father, give me my inheritance. It's like, that must have broken his father's heart. My son doesn't care if I'm alive or dead. Give me what's coming to me before you die. Because I don't care about you. I care about myself. And I want to get everything I can for myself while I can. Give me the inheritance. I want fun. I want parties. I want to be free to live my own life the way I want. I want to decide what's right and wrong for myself, what I'm going to believe. I want to be popular. I want to be popular at parties. I want to be popular around town. I want people to admire me. I want a high social standing. I want appearance. I want appearance. I want really nice clothes, really expensive clothes. I can feel better than others. I want to have my career goals. I want to create abundance for myself. I want to manifest success. Those are popular terms today. And Jesus is just going, he's just sick of it. He's sick of human beings trying to manifest abundance for themselves, elevating themselves. You're not God. You're my beloved child. You're not God. I'm going to work out, have a great body, and it's all for me. It's all for me. That's that unhealthy love that I talk about. And that's how the young son starts off. And so then he goes out and he has a great time. But he goes through all the money, and then a famine strikes, and then he bottoms out. Sometimes God has to let us bottom out. Sometimes we don't turn around, we don't come back until we're so sick and tired of being so sick and tired. And that's what happened. He's sick and he's tired of it all. And he says, I'm either just going to bottom out and overdose or whatever, suicide, who knows? Some people don't come back. But he comes back. And he comes back because he knew he could. This is why it's so important for us to forgive. Because that young son, he had to know, I can go home. And if when he took the money and left, and some fathers, some parents have done this, said, because of what you've done, get out and don't come back. You don't belong here anymore. Get out and stay out. You can't do that. If his father had done that, then that son would have said, I can't go home. I am miserable. I want to change and I can't. My father shut the door. So we can't shut the door. Sometimes we have to detach from toxic relationships, but we don't shut the door. They have to know that if you ever want to change, that the door will be open. And so the father lets him come back. So now the young son starts to love himself in the proper way. To love yourself in the proper way is to do what is ever best for your relationship with God and for your salvation. I want to know the Lord. I want to be fused. I want to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. I want him in my life, leading me, teaching me, guiding me, and I want to be with him for all eternity. So if you love yourself well, you will do whatever will help that. That's loving yourself. Right now, you're loving yourself because you're in church. You're doing what is best for you, for your salvation, for your relationship with the Lord, for your soul. But if I go to church and I don't want to go, and then I sit there and I don't do anything, I'm actually not loving myself. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing in order for that to happen. It's not working. So I have to look at, what am I doing and why am I doing it? What is my intention? What is my goal? So this young man, he starts loving himself. He says, I have to repent. I have to go home and I have to truly repent. So I'm going to go back and tell my dad, I am so sorry. I've sinned against God and against you. And I don't even deserve to be called your son. I need to pay back what I owe. I just treat me like one of your servants. And that's what he tries to do. So now he's loving himself. He's reforming. He's changing. He's changing his life, coming back to God, back to his family. His father has always been loving himself, because you don't see anything in his father that shows that self-centered love. You're so stuck on yourself. His father gives him the money. His heart is broken, but he keeps praying for his son. He keeps missing his son. He may not even know, he probably didn't even know where his son was. Have you ever had a family relative? And I've had people tell me, Father, I don't know where my daughter is. She's on the streets. I don't know if she's dead or alive. I just heard that she was in San Francisco a while back. I don't even know where she lives. And so his father probably didn't even know where he was, but he loved him. He never gave up. He kept praying for him and sacrificing, hoping one day he would come back. That father was loving himself the whole time. He was always doing what was good for his own soul, his own relationship with God, and to be with God in heaven. And then his father continues loving himself when he sees his son come back and he goes out to meet him. And he doesn't throw it in his face. He doesn't do anything that his son is trying to say, let me just be a hired. And he says, no. Put a ring on his finger. That means you're part of the family again. That means put a cloak on him. He's a full son again. You know, the past is gone. I forgive you. So the father continues to love himself. He continues to fuse himself with God, and he wants to be in heaven. He just wants his son back, happy and healthy. So like his son bottoms out with that narcissistic, unhealthy love that the world says that's normal. That's how you're supposed to be loving yourself. It's a lie. And then the son starts loving himself properly. The father is always loving himself properly. And then the last one is the oldest son. The oldest son, he's like in the middle. So he says, Father, I've never denied you. I've never done what your son. He doesn't even call him my brother. He just says, your son, not my brother, because I'm mad at him. I'm angry. And your son goes off and wastes all of your money on a sinful life, and now you welcome him back. And I've never denied you. I've never done that. I've been obedient to you the whole time. I've been good. I've been faithful. I've done the right thing. So it's like part of the older brother has been loving himself properly, but then there's another part that isn't. So he's got like, he's angry. So he's got a wound there. He's got a wound there. He's probably been mad at his brother the whole time for doing what he did. You see, his father wasn't mad, wasn't angry. I bet you the older brother was. That no good brother of mine. He probably wasn't praying for him. He wasn't caring about him. And now he comes back. And now that anger that the older brother has been holding on to, now it comes out. Now it comes out. At his dad. And so the older brother has wounds and has anger, resentment, bitterness. He's been carrying inside. That's not loving yourself. Carrying those things inside is not going to help your relationship with the Lord, and it's not going to help you get to heaven. So to me, the older brother, he loves himself. He doesn't love himself. He still needs to be he needs to be converted still. He has to let God come in and heal him of his anger, his bitterness, his unforgiveness, his resentment, because that will continue to be in him and damage his relationship with God and with his brother and family and cause other problems. So it's like, to me, the older brother is in between loving himself properly and that unhealthy love. Lent is a time for us to just look at our lives and say, you know, I want to be, do I want to be the father? Am I the youngest son? Am I the oldest son? Or am I the father? And do I want to be the father? Loving myself 100% in that godly, healthy way. And Jesus and our Heavenly Father and the Spirit, they've been nice enough to allow our mother and their mother, Jesus' mother, to come to earth during this last century. She's been appearing all over the world, Lourdes, Fatima, many different countries, and she's been in Medjugorje since 1981. And on the 25th of every month, she gives a message. And she said last week, the 25th, "Dear children, in this time of grace, Lent, when you are called to conversion, to become like the Father, to love yourself properly, I am encouraging you, little children, offer me your prayers, sufferings, and tears, like the Father did in this story, for the conversion of hearts that are far from the heart of my son, Jesus." But that could be your heart. You could be that son, the youngest son. So it starts with you, and then it goes out. "Pray with me, because little children, without God, you do not have a future or eternal life." And I've heard her say that before. You do not, without God, you do not have a future. And she's talking kind of like in general to the whole human race, because Jesus loves the whole human race. Our Father, Mary, loves the whole human race. And so she says, you, as in you as a human family, you do not have a future without God if you continue to try to live without God in that unhealthy self-love. But then she adds here, I haven't seen that in a message, or eternal life. I think in a very kind way, she's saying, you're in trouble. In a very nice, loving way, she's saying, you're in trouble. You're at risk. Not just for your own unhappiness here on earth, but you could lose your soul. And it's up to you, she says to the human family. It's up to you, each one of you individually. Pray with me. She says, I love you, but I cannot help you without you. You have free will. I cannot help you. God cannot help you. My son cannot help you without you. And Lent is a time to say, okay, it's with me. Therefore, she says, say yes to God. Say yes to God.